This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
The only two words to ever get me in trouble in middle school. We were all DX guys back in the day.
So you heard something on TV and decided to say it in school, and you didn't think that maybe if you said those two words, you might get in trouble?
No, I wanted to get in trouble.
Ah, okay. Rebel.
My rebellious days were in seventh grade.
Wow.
I had... Miss Harris was my algebra teacher. It was eighth grade.
I am curious. This is fascinating to me because I always wonder what a rebellious phase for a one percenter would be. I thought maybe you wear mismatched socks or something.
Skipped my sailing lessons.
Wow. Showed up to cotillion without wearing a tie. Mm-hmm. I mean, stuff like that.
Yep. I painted my croquet mallet black. You know? It's top-notch stuff.
Nothing wrong with that. That means death is coming for you.
I refuse to drink my tea.
Ooh.
At tea time.
Ooh, did you keep your pinky in? Wow.
One thing Ted Lasso got more right than anything else, tea tastes like garbage water and it's undrinkable. Unless it's sweet tea, which is the only acceptable form of tea.
Yeah, there's people coming for you if you didn't clarify.
Yeah, sweet tea is delightful. Waffle House sweet tea is just the pinnacle. There may not be a better beverage on planet Earth than Waffle House sweet tea.
Why? Because their sugar is like 5 years old?
I don't know what the secret is. If I knew what the secret is, I'd make it at the house. If I knew what the secret to Waho sweet tea was, I'd have Waho sweet tea at the crib. I do not have Waho sweet tea at the crib because I can't figure it out. I don't know what it is.
Every time you say Waho, I hear Waho McDaniel.
No.
So, I mean,
Waho. It's not a Waffle House. It's a Waffle Home.
You're the only one I've ever heard call it that. So, but, you know, I don't get out much.
The Waho. Baby. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The fourth final, the best money hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. It is the Fan Upstate. We were talking earlier in the show about the, I don't know what word we want to use here, rash of fake injuries that took place in college football this year. The growing number of college football players who very clearly took a dive on the field in order to manipulate the clock. And there were some teams, not Ole Miss naming any, that were a little bit more, or I should say, I guess, less subtle about it. There were plenty of clips out of Oxford, Mississippi, where coaches were giving the old get down signal, and then all of a sudden players going, ah, crap. Oh, they blew the whistle. I'm good now, coach.
I thought you were eating there for a second.
No, I was cramping up. I'm going to start doing that during segments, right? If I get to the point where I'm like, okay, the segment sucks and I hate it and I'm doing real bad right now, I'm just going to drop to the floor screaming until Lonzo takes us to break. Then I'll be okay. A proposed rule change intended to discourage players from faking injuries that prompts unwarranted timeouts will be considered when the NCAA Football Rules Committee meets later on in the month. We're still waiting to find out if this will be discussed about and what will come up. The American Football Coaches Association has submitted a proposal that would require a player who goes down on the field and receives medical attention to sit out the rest of that possession. Currently, the player must go out for one play and then can re-enter. The AFCA Executive Director Craig Bohl said, quote, "The American Football Coaches Association is acutely concerned about this. It goes against the grain of the betterment of our game and the ethics. We crafted this, we floated this, and it's been received well. I'm sure there'll be some pushback. Our point is to give us something better if you don't like it." Now, there are some caveats to this. A coach can use a charged timeout to get the player back on the field during the current possession. A player injured by a hit that results in a penalty would be exempt. And also the one player on offense and one on defense with a green dot on his helmet indicating he's allowed to receive radio communication from the sideline would still be allowed to enter after one play. So if you are the QB, the middle linebacker, you're the guy that gets the calls from the coaches into your headset, you would only have to sit out the one play and then you could come back. Greg Sankey put out a memo back in November, if you will recall. We talked about this live on the air at the time within the SEC that said, quote, "As plainly as it can be stated, stop any and all activity related to faking injuries to create timeouts," end quote. The NCAA Football Rules Committee is expected to meet or will meet this week in Indianapolis, and this is one of the issues they are likely to discuss. NCAA Supervisor of Officials Steve Shaw said Division I Conference officiating coordinators gave their support during the annual meeting in Irving, Texas earlier this month. Shaw showed the coordinators a video montage of players feigning injury. Sometimes, and I quote from the ESPN article, "laughably so." I think we all saw that. Lane, I see you, Joey Freshwater. I see you. I would just like to go on the record and say very simply, Yes, please. Yes, it's a pretty simple solution, right? Like if you are, my old man used to say this to me back in the day, right? When I would get, we'd have practices. Maybe I didn't really want to practice that day, or maybe I didn't want to practice the things that Coach Bob had on the practice roster that day or whatever. And I go, Coach, I'm a dad, coach, my hamstring tight, a little wobbly out here. And Bob would go, "Are you too hurt to practice?" And little Robert might go, "Yeah, I don't really feel like it, coach." And he'd go, "Okay, don't worry about it. Take a seat on the bench. Let you know when we need something. Let you know when the team meeting happens." And if that's what happened, guess who didn't play in the game? Because if you're too hurt to practice, you're too hurt to play. It's kind of like when you were cheering and you would, "Mom, I don't think I can go to school today, Mom." And then you stay home, you watch your G.I. Joe, watch a little Price is Right, watch a little Bob Barker on the TV.
Not in my house.
Okay.
You stay home, you did nothing. No, I'm talking about my kids. It's like, I understand that fake out. You stay home? No, you can't. No, you stay in bed.
I mean, we'd stay in bed. You'd watch a little TV, whatever the case might be. Maybe you didn't do anything at all. And then the school day would end. And you might suddenly find yourself magically feeling a little better. And then your friends will call and go, "Hey, we're going to go ride bikes down to the gas station. You want to go? Hey, we're going to come over to Micah's house and play some GoldenEye on the N64. You in? Hey, my mom said everybody could come over for some pizza rolls tonight." And you'd be like, "Yes, sir. Greatest night of my life. Mom, going to Micah's to eat Tostinos and play GoldenEye on the 64. And mom would go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought you were sick." "Well, I feel better now." Sickness doesn't really work like that, kiddo. Back to bed. I need you to get well rested. We need you fully healthy. Sorry, I'll tell Micah. I'll tell Micah's mom you said hello, but you can't go play GoldenEye on the N64.
Did you just set off your Google thing? Or
I did.
Okay.
I don't know what I did to say it, but it hurt me.
I mean, what triggers that?
Usually it's hey Google, No. Oh, this one doesn't say anything back, but she opened.
All right. Well, she was talking a second ago.
She's also British.
Okay. Well, mine's Irish. So, I mean, you know, whatever you prefer.
Like deep British. Like deep, like.
Like Cockney?
Like Captain Britain British. Like Hayley Atwell British.
Okay. I get that.
Yeah.
I completely get that.
Anyway, Mom would say, get your ass back in bed. You're not able to go anywhere until tomorrow. That's how long these bugs going to take. It's just that, but football, right? If you are so hurt that the trainer's got to come out there to lift you up and get you set back up, why don't we take an extra 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 plays and make sure you're good, good?
See, I completely agree with all that unless it's a groin shot. If it's a groin shot, you can recover pretty quick after that. I mean, it's the initial thing, it hurts really bad, but then it kind of goes away. I think if you have a groin shot, you're excused. And you can come back in.
I would probably be okay. Great one. Because the proposed legislation is for the remainder of the drive. That's the proposed legislation. I think I'd be okay if you wanted to say like a play limit. 5 plays, right? You can't come back in for 5 plays. You can't come back in for 5. You got to sit out 5 plays of this drive. If the drive ends, great. You can come back on the next one. But for this drive, you got to stay out 5 plays. I think that might be a good way to do it. But if my options are no plays or for the remainder of the drive, I'm all in for the remainder of the drive.
If you're faking an injury, generally you're on defense, right?
Yeah, I think there are some,
You're trying to stop the momentum of the other team.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think remainder of the drive is good.
Some offensive drives can last 10 minutes, and if you faked your injury and you're out, it may not last as long, especially if you're a star player.
I think there will be some coaches who will still try to game this system, right? Like there may be some spots where offense is rolling, they're throwing the ball, they're moving the chains, clock stopping, they're getting on down. And then a coach goes, you know what? We haven't sacked this quarterback in 15 plays. So, hey, Jones, guy who has not played a single snap this year, go in there, give me one good pass rush, and then hit the floor, hit the deck, go down. Like you got shot, like you got hit by a sniper in Band of Brothers Episode 7. Hit the dirt, go down, stop that clock for us if you can't get to him. Or whatever the case might be. There's still going to be ways to game the system. And I think the reality is, as long as there are rules, there are going to be people that try to find their way around said rules. So you make them up as you go. But I think this is a big step in the right direction. And while the AFCA proposal may not be perfect, there may be some things that, as with most rules, is true. That we have to tinker with, that we have to adjust, that we have to worry about later as coaches continue to find ways to game said system. I'll take something over nothing. I'll take something over nothing. I will take no. You stayed home from school because you said you had a little tickle in the throat. You had a little cough. You had the sniffles. I can't send you over to your buddy's house to play Goldeneye. If you got the sniffles, I can't risk getting everybody sick. So why don't you take it on back to bed? I'm going to bring you some chicken noodle soup and some toast with a little jelly. And then you're going to go to sleep. And we'll see how you feel tomorrow. I think that's the play here. And I think that seems to be the way that they have this concept structured and set up. Because while I understand coaches are always going to look to find a way to circumvent the rules while playing within them, you know what the one they're dealing with right now is, which is Lane sending his guys to the turf to stop the clock. All right, fine. But you're going to lose that guy now. So you got two options. You can lose one of your starting 11 guys and you can stop the clock, but then you lose that guy. Or option number two, you can send out somebody who's not one of your starting 11, one of your not better defenders. You can have a sacrifice of quality of defense, but be able to stop that clock, and you lose that guy. Or you can call a timeout or you can just not do that and play within the rules of the game and try to win within the rules of the game. I'm totally fine with this. I'm interested to see what pushback, if any, there is. The AFCA head said he expects that there will be pushback. First off, I would be interested, great one, in seeing who pushes back, because I think who pushes back is a really good indicator, obviously, of who is going, you know, I much prefer it when I'm allowed to break the rules. Or, bend the rules. I much prefer it when there's an open door for me to act tactically. I'm interested to see if there's any pushback, and I'm interested to see if there's any pushback, specifically who it is that does the pushing back. Because I think that will be relatively telling, if we're being honest. I think that's going to tell on some coaches. So I'm here for it. I'm interested to see kind of, like I said, who pushes back and why they push back. But this will be discussion. I believe those meetings are tomorrow or Thursday. I don't remember off the top of my head. The potential to change the fake injury rules coming down the pipe, and I'm for it. All right, your thoughts. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. If you want to call in and get on the air, you're welcome to do it. Let's take a break. Got a few more things I want to run through, and when we come back, Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Sorry, question. I'm going to say the word tush has been said in public more times this week than maybe in recorded human history.
There's probably some people going, man, I don't want to have to say that, but it's in the news. We got to talk about the tush push.
The brotherly shove, the tush push, whatever you want to call it. There is a proposal that is in play right now that, if approved, could be up for a vote by the owners next week down in Florida. That would bar the tush push. Troy Vincent, the NFL's vice president of football operations, said yesterday that he had received a proposal from a team. He declined to say which team it was. The reporting right now is that it is believed to be the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, where did that come from? I mean, did someone in the Packers organization leak it? Yeah. Hey, it was us. We don't like the tush push. Or did someone go, you know, what's the team? You would think if any team would want the tush push to be gone, it would be a team that's in their own division or possibly the Kansas City Chiefs.
I was going to say it's the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, they don't see it very often, but people in their own division, the teams in their own division, see it all the time. So, I mean, you would think at least that. How often does Green Bay play Philadelphia? And how many times has Green Bay had to deal with the tush push?
I think Green Bay genuinely considers themselves an NFC contender next year and realize that if they make it there, very good chance they play the Eagles, so maybe try to get that done now. Here's my question. If that's your team, if you're a Packers fan, regardless of whose team you're a fan of, if you're a fan and you find out that your team is the team that came forward and said, it's not fair, are you embarrassed by that at all? Are you a little embarrassed if your team's the team that's like, we can't figure out how to stop that play, so we want to make it illegal now?
Nah, you ride or die with your team. You ride with your team and go, yeah, they got it absolutely right, and you come up with reasons why your team would be against it.
I mean, listen, I'm for instance,
the courtesy, or courage rather, it takes to come forth and say what everyone else wants to say, but don't have the guts to do it. The Packers are doing that.
Does everybody else want to say that?
They do. I mean, look around. Everyone wants to ban the tush push except for Philadelphia. It's an unfair play.
Wait. I get to do Alonzo. Not everyone.
By the way, I am.
And I'm in everyone.
I am being sarcastic.
I just said I'm in everyone.
I'm being sarcastic. I'm saying if you wanted to ride or die with your team, those are the things that you would say.
Listen, I'm ride or die with my family. But I will also tell my family when they've said a dumb thing or when they're doing something dumb. I got a problem with that. I'm ride or die with my family above all else. But also, I got into it with my uncle the other day because he said something dumb and he was pushing some woo science on the internet. telling people with, basically telling people with cancer that, if you go outside and you meditate in the sunshine, you'll be fine. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. Right? I will call out my own family members. I think I'd have to call, if I was a Packers fan, I think I'd have to call it out, figure out how to stop it. All right? Like, what if tomorrow Joey B goes out there and he's dropping a 65-yard touchdown every play? Are we going to come out the next day and go, hey, no passes over 20 yards? Nope, can't do that because nobody can stop. Figure out how to stop it. That's football. Now I just sound like an old guy. That's football!
Yeah, it's just still in the end. What I just... Just the part that they're saying that the Packers are the ones that are doing it, and I just want to know where they got the information from. Someone cite sources or something.
I honestly don't really care who it's from.
Because it's a rumor, and you look for it and try to figure out, okay, who said that, and you can't find it anywhere. It's like someone just decided, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to say the Packers said it.
I don't know. I don't really care. I don't really care where it came from. All I know is the NFL VP of football operations has said it is a real thing. It is really something that they are considering, and it is really something that could be up for a vote for the owners. They would need 24 of the NFL's 32 owners to vote to ban the tush push in order to stop pushing tushes in the NFL. Troy Vincent said at the end of the quote where he broke this news yesterday that they have to ask the question, quote, is it a viable football play? And my answer is, do I not know what the word viable means? Because I got to tell you, I'm a words guy. I feel pretty good about my vocabulary, and I was pretty confident I knew what the word viable meant, and it feels pretty viable to me. What do I mean, is it a viable play? It just won the Eagles a Super Bowl. Yeah, it's about as viable gets.
Out of the four people who work on this station, the four hosts on this station, how many you think are pro tush push?
Honestly, all four of us. I think all four of us. I think it's one of the few things that there will be a fan upstate consensus on. I don't see Diesel being the type of guy that goes, I want less grown-ass man football. And certainly, the only one that I think could be against it would be Cole, but that's just because, as you said a minute ago, he's a divisional rival.
Same division, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there is dissent on this from the four of us, it's going to be Cole going, oh, it's going to make Philly's life harder? Then I'm for it.
And all you people saying, well, you're a Chiefs fan, Lonzo, you got to be against it. No, I'm not. It's a legal play. And if you can't stop it, good for the team that's able to, and they're more successful than any other team by twice or three times as much, I think. So, I mean, they perfected it. They came up with it. You can't stop it. That's on you.
88% success rate for the Philadelphia Eagles since they started doing it. Tiger Powell Rachel texts the show, 844-326-3663. She said, play some defense and stop the tush push. Quit being babies. And no, I'm not an Eagles fan. I mean, yeah, figure out how to stop it. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, ready for your next Nerds Run the World discussion? I'll tell you what I'm doing. Hey, Neil deGrasse Tyson, why don't you get up here and put that astrophysics degree to good use? Help us figure out where we can gain leverage. Help us figure out where we can F our MA into being able to stop this thing. Why don't you tell us how to up the F so our M and our A are in better line with each other, and we can win the line of scrimmage. When the tush push started, there was a story going around for a while that I absolutely adored, which was when the Eagles said, hey, we're allowed to do this now, so let's come up with this play where we take advantage of the mass that we got behind these big boys up here and win this thing. And when they decided that they were going to do that, they went and they got, if I recall correctly, the captain of New Zealand's rugby team to come there and effectively teach them how a rugby scrum works, because that's what it is. It's a rugby scrum. So they brought I believe it was the captain of the New Zealand All Blacks, the number one rugby program in the world. They brought him in to teach them how to do it properly. And then they figured out what the most efficient way to run this play is, and nobody's been able to figure out how to stop it. Go get your own rugby guy and ask the question. Now, again, there is an inherent advantage to the offense running the tush push. The inherent advantage to the offense is the same as it is on every other snap. The fact that they know when the ball is going to be snapped. So they have roughly 0.2 seconds advantage. That's about the reaction time. They got about roughly 0.2 seconds advantage. 0.2 seconds for a 300-pound strong S of a B, that's about 6, 7, 8 inches worth of forward momentum, worth of F equals MA. And so in that spot, you're talking about that much off the line of scrimmage. Well, when is the tush push most advantageous? When they need that much space. They get to claim that space just based on the reaction time of knowing the ball is going to be snapped. So if I'm the defender, I got to figure out how do I make sure that once they get that 6 or 8 inches that they get just by having the advantage of knowing when the ball is snapped. How do I make sure that when the ball hits that spot, we've got a chance to stop it and drive it backwards? And the answer to that is, I'm not a defensive coordinator. It's not my job to figure it out. You are defensive coordinators. That's your job to figure out. But just because you can't or haven't yet doesn't mean that you just get to say, yeah, that's not allowed anymore. I don't know. It just... Like I said, if this was my team, I'd almost be a little embarrassed by that. That we're the team. Even if 24 other teams all agreed with me, I would be embarrassed that my team is the team that will forever be known as the team that was so frustrated in not being able to stop a football play that we went, Mom! It's not fair. Dad, Daddy Roger, it's not fair. They shouldn't be able to do that anymore. Stop hitting yourself. I'd be embarrassed by that, man. I would not want to be labeled the team that just gave up because that's kind of what it feels like. I don't know. I'd be embarrassed by that. I think there's no reason to stop the tush push. It's a yard. Stop him. Like, figure it out. Go get the captain. Here, I'll give you a moment. You want to know how? Here's how I'm doing it. If I'm Green Bay or Dallas or whoever else, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm calling the captain of the Australian rugby team. That's a rivalry down there. The Kiwis and the Aussies. The All Blacks and the Kookaburras. I'm calling the captain of the Aussie rugby team. And I'm going, yo, look, the Eagles brought in the New Zealand All Blacks, and they've been getting the credit for years now for helping the Eagles develop this unstoppable play. If you guys will come down here to Dallas or Green Bay or wherever, and you guys will come help us figure out how to stop this play so that we become the one team in the NFL that knows how to stop the tush push. It beats the tush push. And we'll give you all the credit for it.
There's this other thing you could do. Stop letting that team get in short yardage situations. Then they can't use it.
I mean, you figure out how to do that. You're a defensive coordinator now. Congratulations. Listen, it's football. Teams are going to get into third and shorts. That's just how the game gets played. Teams are going to get into the red zone. That's just how the game is played.
I don't know if you knew this, but they're not undefeated, which means some teams figured out how to beat them.
I don't disagree. Hey, nobody's going undefeated. It'll never happen again. But the point here is, you got an opportunity to take advantage of a rivalry. You got an opportunity to take advantage of a rivalry. I'm calling the Aussies, the Kookaburras, the Koala Bears, the Kangaroos, whatever their team mascot thing is.
I think really the Kookaburras. I mean, you said that a couple of times.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think. Okay. All right.
Hey, Google. What's the mascot of the Australian rugby team?
The mascot of the Australian rugby team is Wally the Wallaby.
Ah, it's a wallaby.
Oh, they're the Wallabies.
So I'm calling the Wallabies. And I'm like, mate, you figure out how to stop the tush push, and we'll all speak in a ridiculous Australian accent for the rest of the year.
By the way, I didn't turn my mic on again, so that's another one.
Four?
It is.
In two? Oh, that's a ball game.
Yeah.
This is a ball game. This would be worse than a 28-3 blowout.
It is. It's Tuesday, so I mean, it could probably get worse for me.
I don't know if I've ever had a four. I've had some threes. I don't know if I've ever gotten to a four.
I'm pretty sure we've tied at four.
I don't know.
Like a couple weeks in a row, I think it was at four.
Don't complain to Daddy Roger that you can't stop little brother from beating you in backyard football. Go get in the gym. Go get you some defensive linemen. Call the Aussie, oi, oi, ois, and tell him, if you help us learn how to stop the tush push, we'll give you all the credit for it. Now you got something back up on the Kiwis. You in or you out. Guarantee you they'll be in. Easy play. Easy play. All right, got a few more things to get to on the way out. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate, mate. You know what? I'm always classy. I'm going to address what I addressed off the air a second ago. Which, by the way, you should come watch the stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitch.
So today I'm going to be able to click that philosophy thing on the podcast.
The what?
The philosophy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
You're getting ready to
be philosophical.
Yeah.
So I said on the way out, it was a pretty good Australian accent. It's not bad. It's like 8.5 out of 10. 7.5 out of 10. Somewhere in the middle.
You know Grayson Waller.
Because of Waller the Wallaby. I didn't say it was Grayson Waller. But like, you know, solid. Solid, like B+ effort. Anyway, I said on the way out, I said, yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest. It was a pretty good Australian accent. And Lonzo said, you're going to be honest as if you would lie to me. And we've had this conversation before about the phrase, I'm going to be honest. And for a very long time, I think I kind of accepted like, well, why would you say you're going to be honest if you're not honest all the time? And I figured it out. Ordinarily, I am a very humble person. Ordinarily, I don't brag on me and how amazing I am. I don't do that.
Yeah, no one on the air has ever heard you do that. Yeah.
I don't brag about how fantastic I am, how good at this job I am, how handsome I am, how smart I am, how funny I am.
The awards, things like that.
I don't brag about that.
Never even talk about those, yeah.
Because I'm a very humble person. I'm as humble as I am talented and attractive. And I respect me for that, if we're being honest.
You should always respect yourself.
I do. I'm very good. I'm as good at respecting myself as I am humble for doing it. The phrase, I'm going to be honest, actually serves a purpose here. And the purpose is to inform you that what I'm about to say next goes against some core behavior of mine, right? And it means to me there's one of two, which is either A, humility. It's a way of bragging about yourself and saying, I would not ordinarily brag about me as I am a very humble person. But I am going to brag about me now. I'm going to brag about a thing I did, right? So if like, yeah, you step up on the tee box and you crack a 310-yard drive. You smoke it, dead center fairway. Little draw, drops right into the center of the fairway. You might ordinarily go, hey, you know, I'm an okay golfer. Hey, you know, I get a good drive every now and then. That's how you normally talk about yourself. But in that moment, because you did something incredible, you go, hey, I'm not going to lie, I smoked that golf ball, right? What you're saying is ordinarily I would be humble in this moment, but right now I'm not. I'm going to pound the chest a little bit. The other thing I think it is a useful tool for is ordinarily I would not say this to you to spare your feelings. But it is more important for me right now to have you know the truth than it is to spare your feelings. If your buddy comes out, you're going out to the bar, you're going to go cruise for the ladies, and your buddy shows up and he smells bad, you're going to be like, hey, Not going to lie, you might want to go hit a shower real quick. You might want to go hit the old Axe body spray, right? You might want to go wipe down a little bit before we go out cruising for the ladies. Now, if it was just you and him hanging out at the house and he had a little BO odor to him, you might just let it go. You'd be like, whatever, dude. Like, I'll get over it, right? And in that case, by not telling him, you would be lying to him by omission. I'm not going to tell him how bad he stinks in this spot because there's no sense in hurting his feelings. There's no benefit to that, right? But if we're going to go out and his stank is going to detract from your ability to smooth talk the ladies one evening, then in that spot, you might go, it is more important for me to maybe hurt your feelings a little bit, to tell you stink, because the greater objective is for us to go out and have a good night, and if you smell like that, we can. So I'm not going to lie to you. You might want to shower a little bit. I would ordinarily lie to you by not saying, hey, bud, you smell like a beehole right now. Hey, bud, you don't smell bad right now. That's a lie. And ordinarily, I wouldn't protect your feelings. But in this case, it is more important that you know the truth than it is that I spare your feelings. Therefore, I'm not going to lie to you. You smell real bad. Or, I'm not going to lie to you, I kind of nailed that Aussie accent in the last segment. Ordinarily, I wouldn't brag about me, but right now I am. All right.
Wow, that was just a long way to go to just point out how good you think your accent is.
Well, it was pretty good.
It was
pretty good.
It was one of your better ones.
And, I'll kick.
And as you continued, it stayed even. It stayed good.
Yeah, most of my accents fade over time. That one's pretty good. That one stays pretty good. All right. A couple more things I want to get into before we get up out of here for the day.
You watched a lot of Crocodile Hunter growing up?
Who didn't?
Okay, well.
That's not a knife. That's a knife. That's one of the greatest scenes of all time. How many of us didn't take a pocket knife and stab it into a piece of wood?
I said Crocodile Hunter.
It's the same guy.
No, it's not. It's the same guy. I was talking about Steve Irwin.
I watched so much Steve Irwin as a kid. I would say on the Mount Rushmore of overwhelming positivity, I'm going Steve Irwin, Bob Ross, Mr. Rogers. Who's our fourth? Bob Ross, Steve Irwin, Mr. Rogers.
That
it's
was
gotta
good
be one more.
You got to Mr. Rogers. He's still so creepy.
He's not creepy. You're creepy.
No, whatever.
Bob Ross.
At least your response
Steve
hasn't
Irwin,
changed over the years.
Mr. Rogers. It doesn't need to. It's accurate. You're creepy. Who's the fourth on our Mount Rushmore of overwhelming positivity? There's gotta be one more somewhere. Stuart Scott. Can I throw him up there?
It's kind of a little bit different compared to the other guys as far as his delivery and his energy. Everybody else was low-key. Stuart Scott, not low-key.
So you think Steve Irwin was low-key?
No, you're missing. Yeah, I do.
Steve Irwin?
Compared to Stuart Scott, yes.
Steve Irwin was the most intense dude of that group.
Never yelled once.
You don't know who the Crocodile Hunter is, mate.
You didn't need to yell.
Oh, she's a beaut.
That's not yelling.
Look at her. What a gorgeous creature. She's great, man. She's Crocodile Hunter. The best. The GOAT. The legend. All right. Let's get a couple more things in here. You know who Alton Brown is? I love Alton Brown. You know who Alton Brown is? Alton Brown's a TV chef celebrity, which is a TV chef who's also a celebrity.
When you said chef, I remembered who he was.
Yeah. Alton Brown's great because Alton Brown did a show for a very long time that was the science of cooking. Right, he didn't just say, well, you take your vinegar and you take your spices. But he actually talked to you about like the chemicals in the food and why they work together and all that, which, as a nerd, I absolutely adored. I absolutely loved. He would break down like, okay, this says this chemical, this says this chemical, these two chemicals mix, there's this reaction, totally changes the taste. And that's why even though this is good, and you wouldn't imagine they work together, they do because it was great. It was great. Alton Brown was on a talk show the other day. And they asked him for rapid-fire hot food takes. Here's a few of them. Great one, because nothing brings the Rob Brown Show together like some good food hot takes. I love everything he just said. I love every take he just had in that entire run.
Except for the label thing, because...
The chef thing?
No, yeah, because there is a profession where you need to do that. It's a DJ or MC.
It's really not, though.
Yeah,
it's really not. There's plenty of MCs that don't have MC in their name. Plenty of DJs don't have DJs in their name.
Not when it all started. I mean, it may have evolved now, but when it started, you had to do that so you would know who was who. Because you can't go up there and think that that's the DJ and that's the MC when it's the opposite thing. That could get you hurt.
I think once you start watching, you know who the DJ is and the MC is because the DJ is DJing and the MC is MC.
But if you're not watching, you're only listening.
Okay. All right, fine. Okay, fine. I'll let you have that one spot.
They have to self-identify.
I do love the can't negotiate with terrorists and children are food terrorists.
By the way,
I love that take.
That is absolutely right. It doesn't matter what generation.
That's our one take out of all the kid takes. That's our one take, I think. I knew as soon as I heard it, I'm like, we're going to agree on that. Y'all got to stop. Y'all got to stop with the baby and your kids at the table, man. Eat your damn broccoli or go to bed hungry.
Exactly.
Can't negotiate with terrorists.
I'm with you on that.
Rectangle dinner table or circle dinner table?
I'm a rectangle guy. I prefer rectangle because circle, you got a better chance of getting kicked underneath the table.
All right. I'm a rectangle guy, but for clearly very different reasons than whatever was happening in the Reitzel household.
Well, in any household. I mean, especially...
Not a lot of kicking going on under the brown table.
Dude, if everyone's over 6 foot tall and you're sitting in a round table, someone's accidentally getting kicked. I didn't mean on purpose. Although that happens some, too. But that's usually someone trying to get you to shut up.
Maybe just had a 1% big-ass dinner table.
Okay, you're
maybe
talking about like
dinner table.
You're talking about the round table.
No, big rectangle table.
Is it as big as your arm span?
I'd say that's about how wide it was. A little bit longer.
That's a big table. That's a really big table.
Well, it's not. It's a regular size table.
Your arm span tip to tip is probably 6'4", right?
That's like 6'3".
Okay, so that's how round that table is.
That gives you that much space.
Uh-huh.
How are you going to fit your first, third, fourth, and fifth courses all on the same area?
That was good.
Thank you. Really good.
All right. The first thing that's Xing is selectively aggressive.
Steven Jones, the COO of the Dallas Cowboys, decided he was going to get in front of a microphone instead of his daddy yesterday. And he said during the offseason, the Dallas Cowboys were going to be, and I quote, selectively aggressive about how they work through free agency, which is once again, Jones family dialect for we're going to do whatever we want, whenever we want to do it, and we don't give a damn what anybody else has to say about it. Dallas Cowboys, enjoy another year of mediocrity and disappointment. You got a lot more of them coming.
What happens when selectively aggressive meets ruthless aggression?
Ruthless aggression. Here's my thing. I understand the concept of being selectively aggressive. If you're like a fighter, it's like picking your spot. Like, you don't want to just come out, bop, 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 throwing punches because you open yourself up. Selectively aggressive. Here's the thing. It's kind of like the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight. It's going to be two guys who just circle. I'm being selective. 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 I'm being... And in 8 minutes of being selective and nobody throws a punch, you're going to... This isn't a fight, Dallas. This ain't a fight.
All right. The next thing that's asking is CM Punk.
CM Punk is excellent because as we are on the road to WrestleMania with the Elimination Chamber coming up this Saturday, last night he saw himself on Monday Night Raw in a showdown face-to-face with Logan Paul, who then slapped him in the face, said he's going to beat him at the Chamber. The thought here is that favor hanging over the head of one Paul Heyman from CM Punk is likely going to be manipulating his way into the main event at WrestleMania coming up very soon. I don't know how it's going
to
play out.
This has to do with that particular thing, but I don't know if you've noticed or if you've seen it, but he made him bleed. He busted the inside of his mouth, and CM Punk like stuck his tongue out, and there was like blood on his cheek or his chin afterwards. So he slapped him so hard that he made him bloody. And as we know, the history of CM Punk, someone's going to pay.
I mean, here for it.
I think it would be great if Logan Paul beat up CM Punk. I think that would be hilarious because I don't know how you would be able to react if that happened.
That's the only reason why I care. How would you react? I've kind of come back around to being a Punk guy. I'm kind of back on team.
Wow, look at you.
I know. I don't like it. I literally doubled over to say it. I'm kind of back in on CM Punk. I kind of think new WWE Punk's been really good.
All right, the next thing is X-ing is Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is X-ing because it turns out Patrick Mahomes promoted the banning of the tush push.
No.
Oh, is that not it?
You got a haircut. You haven't seen it?
Dylan Rayola's in shambles right now.
Yeah, I know. He's got to be.
I spent all this time learning how to get this permit. Now you do this, Patrick.
What do I do?
How am I supposed to be a creepy clone knockoff representation of you now?
It is a concern.
Did he shave it?
No. He cut it low. You have to. It's been everywhere. And at first I thought it was fake, but then I saw him at the Texas Tech game. And they showed the hair, and he cut it. He was leaving it the way it was because of head and shoulders. I don't know if it's like that's over.
Troy Polamalu's going to be furious.
Yeah, because now what's he going to do? Little Troy's really going to be mad. All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Asuka.
Asuka the Grouch? Asuka Robertson? The Asukas?
No, I wasn't using an accent. I was actually saying Asuka,
Asuka. I do not know because I haven't watched Raw yet. Is she back?
No, but she is... she is going back and forth with critics about video games right now. It's everywhere.
That's dope.
And she's talking about how don't listen to the critics. Try it yourself.
Hot take. That's not a hot take. Asuka's better than Charlotte Flair.
In what way?
Wrestling.
As a wrestler? I don't know. I think they're pretty even.
Wrestling, promo.
Yeah, I think they're pretty
personality,
even.
Personality. Riz.
Pretty even. And the last thing that is X-ing is Lucasfilm. Just because I want to put this in there.
Lucasfilm is X-ing because... I really don't know. Because
Kathleen Kennedy is leaving.
Well, the Fortress of Nerditude is going to be quite the discussion chamber today. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again, but better. Tell your friends about us. We're trying to get rich and famous. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.